the beats with just Bowen and Bowie J.
Hello, it is Bowie Jane with Jess Bowen for Babes Behind the Beats. And today on the show, we have Vi from punk rock band Destroy Boys. Welcome, Vi.
Ow! Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
We are so excited to have you. And thank you for doing this because, you know, while we were off air, you just told us that you have a little bit of a cold, as do I. So, like, you are a champ for doing this through that. So, thanks.
As are you.
Now, so, your band Destroy Boys, can you tell us a bit about your style of music if perhaps people don't know about them?
Sure. I like to tell people that we're like, in, I'm using air quotes, brand new rock music. And what I mean by that is what's cool about this new generation of bands is that there's so many genres available and like immediately accessible to us that we take from a lot of different influences. So I wouldn't say that we're just punk or just rock or just pop or anything like that. Obviously, we take influence from all those things, but we're just like a rock band that kind of has a little bit of everything going on.
How did you guys meet? Like, you got together at like 15, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 15, wow. And Alexia just turned 16 a month prior, so.
So tell us about that. I think I read a little bit about it. Were you guys like, you were in Sacramento, this is where you guys were from, and you guys were like, you used to go to shows like around, you know, like kind of just like shows that were local shows and just checking out the bands that were playing?
Yeah. We used to frequent a venue called Cafe Colonial and The Colony in Sacramento, which are just two venues that are right next to each other. Whoever was playing, we'd go. If there was a show, that we'd go, like, no matter what. But Alexia and I started the band because, you know, we became friends in the middle of high school, you know, 15 and 16. And I've, like, since I was 12, I've like always wanted to be, you know, in a rock band, and I wanted to be a singer, which is not where my enormous skills lie, but to someone else later in the story, it comes to them very naturally. So we were like hanging out, and then I was like, let's start a band. Alexia was like, yeah. And Alexia was going to play drums, and I was going to play guitar and sing, and like, I didn't know how to sing, and Alexia definitely doesn't know how to play drums, like, at all. And then eventually they were like, hey, like, we should work on this song I wrote, but I don't know, I'm kind of nervous. And I was like, dude, show it to me. And they played me this bit recording of them singing, and I was like, oh, you're the best. You're going to be our singer. This is the easiest decision I've ever made in my life. This is great. And they used to be really shy and nervous, and now I've, like, totally created a monster. They have, like, the best stage presence ever and are an incredible singer, and it's just cool to watch the band grow.
Oh, my God. I love that. And, like, so how did you guys find your influences then? Like, who were your influences? Like, who were you going to see? Like, what bands would you say that you were, like, really looking up to at the time?
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty much only into punk at that point in my life. Like, I really loved, like, all the East Bay bands. I loved Green Day, of course, Operation Ivy, Rancid. And Alexia was more into, like, indie at the time, and I was also really into indie, too. Like, all the stuff that was, like, popping in 2015. Like, a lot of the bands coming out of the Southern California scene I was really into. Mac DeMarco, of course, classic. Like, just that kind of stuff. Just a lot of current guitar music is what we were really into. But then I showed Alexia punk, and they seemed to really get into it. So, and in terms of bands we were going to see every week, it was just local Sacramento bands.
So you started a band, but then what? Like, do you go, right, what are we going to do here? We're going to rehearse. We're going to try and get some gigs. How'd you get a gig?
You know, it's more of a balance now, but how the band was set up before is like, Alexia is like, you know, the unbridled passion, and I'm just like the business side. I wouldn't say brains because they're very smart, but like, I just would handle all the business, and I'm like very, I guess, mindfully equipped for that. It's just something that comes to me naturally and that I love to do. So I would do anything to get us a show. I was like, Facebook was like, can we curse or no?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Facebook was like the shit for booking shows, you know, back then, especially for DIY bands, because like Facebook groups and all that stuff. So I was DMing people. I was emailing venues. I would make personalized demo packages to send to labels with like handwritten letters and plastic dinosaurs, and never got a response from any of those, by the way, just so you know. And now our record is number 12 on the college radio charts in the United States, so, you know,
wow.
Makes me feel pretty good.
Congrats. That's amazing.
Thank you. It just feels good, you know, a little bit for me. But I would just do everything. Every night I made little spreadsheets. I would handwrite all these journal entries. I found my old journal the other day, actually, that was just a list of all these venues in the Bay Area that went on for like 4 pages. And each venue had a paragraph of things I needed to know and include in my email to them.
Wow.
Every response that I got was no. Constantly denied. Destroy boys constantly.
Yeah.
Which, again, feels good now because our tour is, you know, a bunch of shows on our tour are selling out and stuff, you know?
Right.
But yeah, it was just a long grinding process. And when we got an occasional yes or just a random last minute offer, we would take anything we could get, and we're here now. So
you had this like natural instinct then to like, you were essentially like the manager of your band, right? Like,
yeah.
You were like saying doing the business side. Is that just like, it's just something that comes naturally to you and you wanted to be in that role?
Yeah. It's something that I really take pride in. We didn't have real managers till we were 19. So 4 years after.
Yeah. Fact. I was just going to ask and say like, when did that change? Like, when did you get managers involved and then why? Because it seems like you feel like you were very capable of doing it yourself, but was there a moment that you were like, yeah, I don't think I can handle all of this?
Yeah, so I was in a lucky, since we were so young, I didn't know anything about the industry, obviously. And like, everything I learned was just things that people had either told me or that I had learned the hard way, right? By being denied from something.
Yeah.
But I was really lucky. I was surrounded by people who, like my friends and just adults who like had experience in the industry. And the number one thing I heard about managers, because I was constantly like, we need one, just because I wanted to get, you know, opportunities. I thought that's how you sourced it, which is not the case. You source things by, you know, being a successful band.
And like your own connections too.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. So the number one thing I heard from people was like, the only time you should get a manager is when you can completely not handle the amount of like loads of work and communications that are coming in. And it just so happened that when that it started to get to that point, we were courted by our current managers, who are literally like, I cannot stress this to you guys enough, they are like family. They are,
that's great.
So we are very, very close to them. They're both in LA and we always stay at their houses. Like, I'm constantly calling them for stuff unrelated to the band, for just like advice. Like, we're very close.
How did they find you then?
We played a show with Beach Goons, one of their other clients. And they showed up early and watched us, and they were like, this band is good. And then they came to our show the next week at The Smell in Los Angeles. And Alexia was talking to them, and I didn't want to talk to them because I had a stomach ache. But, you know, I ended up kind of putting them through the ringer on the phone later, asking them all these questions about how they'd run it, because I was really afraid to pass off my baby to someone else's hands, right? But they've nothing but good things have come from working with them. I love them.
Wow. That's amazing.
Because you've been signed now. And was that through them, or was it through their connections?
Actually, we had a connection and kind of a loose offer from Hopeless before I even met the managers.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it all kind of pulled in at once. But what was funny is, like, it took 2 years for it to really come to fruition.
2 years. Okay.
Yeah, a deal that worked for, like, both us and the label. But we love Hopeless. They're the best, too.
Hopeless also, is like, great. Family. Are you working with Tobin over there? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's just such a good guy. I love him. And in my band previously, we just had a very close relationship with him.
What was your band?
The Somerset. We were on Fearless, actually.
Oh, but, cool.
But we were like so close with Tobin, and like Hopeless would have been another label that was like, I know that they would have been an amazing label to be on. So I'm sure like you're in great hands. So I know why you're like, I love them, because everyone loves them. Who doesn't love Tobin, you know?
Oh my God. He's such a like lovable character.
So lovable and like
so
genuine
lovable.
Too. Just like a genuinely nice guy and cares about all of his artists. So
yeah, I want to give a shout out to Erin Choi too. She has been like a rock throughout our whole album release process. She's been so forgiving. Like, we kind of hit a wall like earlier this year after recording, where we were just kind of like, since we can't tour, we don't really want to like do anything, like, because our album was done and we were just like, we're lazy. And she was so good about getting us on just like the art and like all this stuff. And she's been great. Shout out Erin. Awesome. We love you.
Always great to have another
again for the audio listeners.
Oh, you're good. You can blow your nose as much as you need to. I wanted to ask you a question though, real quick, about like pre-COVID. Mm-hmm. Were you guys finished with your album cycle, would you say, as in like touring wise, or what, had it just started? I'm trying to figure out timing wise, like what was it like when COVID hit? Like, were you guys like about to like be on tour a bunch, or were you kind of coming to the end of that?
So the only album we had put out, we put out one album in 2016, then another one in 2018. And we had just been like touring. And we had plans for another record, but it wasn't anything really solid. You know, it was like just the three of us. So we were just kind of like, you know, I don't know. And then, we were talking with Helpless. We were just really, really focused on touring. So we were about to like go out on tour. So we were going to tour with, Wunderbar. We were going to tour with Against Me. We were going to do the Sad Summer Tour. And then so we were like, okay, like this year is already booked. We don't have time to make a record. And then poof, that all disappeared.
Here's some time for you.
Yeah. And then we had time to write a record, which we're really proud of. So
that's amazing. Yeah, that's great. I feel like, you know, it's always interesting to hear. I'm always interested in what the artist's like plans were and then what came during COVID, essentially, because this is a very common theme. It's like, obviously things got canceled. So people were like, well, we have to write now. So what is the writing process like with your band? Like, how does it start and who's involved in it? And like, just tell us about, it's different with everyone. So I'm interested how it works with you guys.
So what's cool about Destroy Boys is the writing process is like very collaborative, and it always has been. That's something we take a lot of pride in. We, you know, it'll start with what me and Lexi call, air quotes, the bones of a song. You know, it's a podcast, so I have to tell people I'm doing the air quotes.
Yeah.
Like the bones of a song, which is just like a riff or a lyric or both, or just like the beginning pieces, right? And then me and Lysa will work on it together. We'll flesh out some guitar parts, then we'll take it to Narce, who's our drummer, and then we'll just structure it out and flesh it out. But we'll all work on it together, which is really cool. There's no like chief songwriter in the band. Nothing like that. We're all like really communicative and collaborative.
Oh my gosh, Jess, it is a few weeks after I last spoke to you and Christmas is looming. I'm starting to get stressed about presents. What are you getting Lauren, your fiance?
Ooh, that's a good question. Okay, so I've already been looking because I want to get the best gift giver ever title this holiday season. So I was looking at Uncommon Goods and I found this adorable Elwood the Rainbow Unicorn mug. And you know that Lauren and I both love rainbows and unicorns.
Oh my God, you love rainbows so much.
Love them. And we found it has a matching cereal bowl too. So it's amazing. And it's just unique because it's like made, it's like usually independent artists and makers, you know, make these little goods. So I was just like really excited about it. And I think she's going to love it.
Yeah, it's so cool because actually I've had a look at their website too, and they're, as you said, they're often handmade and they're made in the US. They're like really good quality. One of the cool, I saw a cool thing for music lovers. It's a holiday scratch off advent calendar playlist. So you basically scratch a day for each day of December, and under it's a QR code with a song, a carol sung by an emerging artist. How cool is that?
That is amazing. And just one more amazing thing about Uncommon Goods is that with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. So
that's awesome.
It's awesome. And for our listeners, to get 15% off of your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/beats. That's uncommongoods.com/beats for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. And how did you find, by the way, your drummer? Because you and Alexi have been together for forever.
Yeah.
Like since you were teenagers and stuff. So like, when did he come into the picture?
This is such a funny story. So we, like, as our longtime fans know, have like been through a lot of members because A, we are so young. So people go through like a lot of life changes at our age. And
totally.
People that we were playing with were realizing that like they didn't want to be on tour 200 days out of this 365 day year, or they didn't want to play punk rock music as an adult, or they didn't have the time, or just, you know, all that stuff. Or they're just like, wasn't fits or anything like that. And so I worked at, I've been working at this guitar shop in Oakland for a pretty long time, Oakland, California. And I just started there, and I was sitting there with my two coworkers, one of which is like my best closest friend. His name's Michael. He's the best. And I was like, you guys, like, we can't find this drummer. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm so anxious. So I would always be like, is the band over? It never is. The band is never over.
Right.
It's never been over. It will never be over until we're dead, which is a very long time from now.
Yeah.
So I'm like, the band's over. And they're like, no, you're 18. You're fine. This is 3 years ago. And my coworker is like, put out like a post on Instagram asking to do auditions. And I was like, no, that sucks. Like, I don't want it. I just want it to happen naturally. And they were like, that's, your life is not really a movie. So just ask people to audition. So I was like, oh my God, this is like the last straw, like the band's over, blah. And I like put out a thing on Instagram that was like, hey, if you want to audition to be in Destroyer Boys, send us an email. But we got like 20 emails. So this is so funny. Most of them were like entirely unusable because it would be like, hey, so we were 18 and 19, or no, we were both 18. And, people would be like, hey, like, I'm 13 and I live in England, but I'm going to text my mom and she is going to let me know if I can, like, commute, is a real email we got. Commute.
Wow. From England. Wow.
From England.
Yeah.
And we 13, weren't even, like, doing that well also. At the time. At 13. We weren't even doing that well at the time. So I remember being like, why would you do that? Like, why? So that's real. That happened. And then we got other ones that were like, hey, I live in New York. I live in Minnesota, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, hey, so definitely not. No. And then we got a couple other ones that were like local, but they were written really poorly. And I don't know about you guys, but I take a well-written email way more seriously than, you know, the opposite of that, which is a poorly written email.
Absolutely.
I take my emails pretty seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I said, for sure. Business lady. And then we got a couple emails that were like well-written and were local to the base. So we auditioned a couple people, and a consistent factor, you guys aren't going to believe this either, a consistent factor in people showing up to a Destroyer Boys audition, air quotes again, is that they like didn't know the songs.
Oh, at all. Great.
So, and me and Lexi were used to this. Like, this was like the bar that was set. We were like, okay, like, let's listen to the song so that you can remember the part.
Oh my God.
And then we get this nice, well-written email from this nice young man. February 2018, he's like, hey, I'm Narce. I've played in this band. And he linked to his old bands and his Facebook. And he was like, I love you guys. I've seen you guys live a bunch of times. Like, you know, how about I give this a try? He's from the city. And I remember listening to the bands he was in. Shout out Juice Bumps. Great band. And I was like, this is weird. This doesn't sound like Destroyer Boys at all. It doesn't. But we were like, okay, let's give him a try, like as like a offhand type of thing. So also, we didn't have a rehearsal room until this year. We didn't have our own room. So we used to audition people in the rehearsal rooms in Guitar Center. I'm not joking.
No way.
What a God.
You would go like in the drum room of Guitar Center and like have them play? That's way funnier,
but no. They have in Emeryville in Berkeley, they have rehearsal rooms you can rent out.
Oh my God. Okay. I thought you meant like you would go into like the drum section of Guitar Center and be like, cool, now just play for us. And
play drums. I think that's what a lot of people think when I tell this story, which isn't that often, but that would be way funnier.
Okay.
Maybe if I'm telling it at a party, I'll lie and say that's what actually happened. And make her laugh. No, so we meet up with him. He, like, seems cool. I'm like, hey, what's up? And then we get in there, and, like, I'm over it already because we've auditioned so many people. And, like, I'm like, the band's over again. So I'm like, all right, what song do you want to do first? And he's like, how about Probation, which is, like, you know, our big song, air quotes, big songs, and, you know, whatever. And I'm like, all right, like, I'll play it into the mic. And he was like, why? And I was like, so you can hear the part. He was like, no, I practiced. I know the song. And I was like, are you sure?
You're like,
are you sure you know
this
the song?
This has not happened yet in any this other not audition.
And people who've said that they know the song will stop in the middle of and be like, I don't know the part. I'm just like, oh my God, it's so simple. And me and Alexia looked at each other. We were like, are you sure? Like, we'll play the song. And he was like, no, I practiced before this audition. Played the song all the way through. And we're already like, oh my God.
You're like, you're in. You're in.
This can't be true. And then we're kind of joking with him a little bit. It just feels chill. And we're like, this is cool. This is fun. And then we play like three more songs. He knows all the parts. And we were shocked. So, yeah. And then we played a couple shows with him. And now he's like our boy for life. Him and I lived together for a couple years, and like we were just texting earlier. He was telling me that he's gonna go get a tattoo without me, and I told him, here, I'll read the quote exactly. I said, "I hope you trip and fall into the sewer on the way there."
Did you say fine? I'm gonna do a radio show without you.
Yeah. Fine.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I love that story because it's also interesting because I am a drummer, and I think if I was going into an audition to play anything or just any rehearsal in general that I go into, I know what I'm going to do because
you would learn the part, right?
It's exactly it.
Exactly.
It's like, that's what my one job would be, is to know the fucking part. So it's so crazy to me.
Like the bare minimum. Now that I'm like a real-ish adult, you know, I'm turning 22 in a couple months, like I'm like, okay, I would literally die before I went into an audition of anything without knowing what I was going to do. Like, totally. I would never put myself in that position. Destroy Boys have a million more stories like that. We used to call it the Destroy Boys curse. Like, because anything weird that you think could happen to a band happened to our band.
Oh man. Yeah. But you guys are still here. You've come back. You know what I mean? Anything that is, you're surviving through it, right? So you're good.
Yes, it's
you're
true. Good. We're big on that.
Yeah. And what's it been like touring with him? Like, obviously you girls had known each other for so long, but he fit right in, did he?
Oh yeah. Like, we only started really touring. Like, our first US tour was June 2018. So we only started like really, really touring like after he was already in the band. And once you tour with somebody, it's kind of like very hard to break that bond. You know how like kids or teenagers go to summer camp and then they come back and somebody's just their friend for life? It's like the same thing, but you're also working, living together, and like playing together every night. So it's nuts.
Great. That's really the most important thing when you are touring, like auditioning someone for the band, is that you want to make sure you can tour with them. Cause like you said, you're playing together, living together you see them more than you see your own family. So you got to make sure that they feel like they can be your family.
Right now too, like what's cool is we're touring a lot, but we have like our friends just come in and rotate playing bass for us, which is so cool because, you know, we have like, you know, three solid Destroy Boys members, but then just whoever feels like coming on tour and who we like love, like our friend David's coming on tour with us in November, who's like our best friend in the world, and he crushes on the bass guitar. So we just have people come in and rotate. It's really fun.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And so you guys are touring. So let's talk about, like you said, you just released this new album. And tell us about the touring plans then that you have coming up and maybe your plan for the rest of this album cycle.
Destroy Boys' first ever headline United States tour is coming up this month. I'm looking at the date, I leave in 16 days. The first show starts in Anaheim and it's sold out.
Oh my God, congrats, that's amazing.
Nice.
Thank you so much. First ever Southern California show we've ever sold out, ever.
That's huge.
We've also sold out we've sold out three more shows on the tour, and I think 10 more are on their way, and there's about 22 shows. And we just announced two more shows today. We're playing the Roxy in LA and Rickshaw Stop up here in San Francisco.
Oh, heck yeah.
Cool.
Which, thank you. I really don't want to sound like I'm bragging, but it's just important for me to, you know, kind of talk about these accomplishments because, like, as you've heard, we kind of came from jack shit. So it feels really good.
You've got to talk about the good things.
It feels really good to, you know, just check on ticket links and be like, these tickets aren't available. I'm like, why are people buying tickets to these shows? Like, it still blows my mind.
It blows my mind.
Seriously, I couldn't be more grateful. So
no, that's incredible. And then that's your first headline tour that you're gonna be doing, which sounds like it's just gonna be incredible. And then do you have plans even up until next year now, or are you kind of focusing on that for now and then figuring out next year? Or probably can't, I don't know, maybe you just can't even talk about it yet.
We have like loose plans for Europe, but you know, anything could happen with the vid. You know?
Yeah. Jess and I were just discussing that yesterday. We're like, uh-oh, Europe?
Yeah. We were seeing all that. And it's just like, it's just scary because like shows are finally coming back, but then it's like, is everything going to get canceled again? And then exactly. Like, what happened? You know, it's so scary.
And it's very, I mean, I'm sure as you guys know, like it's expensive to tour Europe. So we don't want to like drop a bunch of money and then like have to eat it, you know? So we'll see, like, especially like if this tour ends up continuing to do well, we'll see like what comes our way and just taking every day as it comes. But we're really focused on this one. We're going out with two great bands that we handpicked, Jigsaw Youth, who are from New York. It's, three people from New York City, femmes that are just like a killer band. We befriended them online and turns out they're like huge Distro Boys fans.
Oh my God.
Taking them out as direct support and we're so excited. And then our opener is a like guitar pop band from here, San Francisco called The Umbrellas, that are just really good. They're, Alexia and my boyfriend's like old roommates and they're just really, really good. So we're excited to take them out too. Yeah.
That's awesome. And I'm sure they're excited to, like you said, they're fans of you guys. So they're probably like so thrilled that they were handpicked by you guys. That's very cool.
Yeah. And we're just thrilled to have them on too. So we're just
that's
happy.
So great.
And cool. From meeting online. I love those stories.
I know. Right? I know. It's fun.
Kind of makes the world feel like totally attainable.
I know. I like, you know, making friends more than I like making enemies, you know, on the internet. You know what I mean?
I like that. I like that. Yeah. Well, okay, so we are coming to the end of this interview, but we do have one thing that we didn't tell you about, but it's very simple. It's a very easy quiz. It's like a this or that type thing. And we do it with every guest that
these.
We have. Yeah, it's very simple. So just we'll get started so you don't have to wait for and get anxious. Some people get anxious about it. But okay,
first
question. Okay. Dogs or cats?
Cats. I have two.
Two cats.
I have two little baby cats that I wish would make an appearance. There's my 3.5-year-old Maine Coon Bonnie, who's right here, stage right. and then my, how old is she? She's 3 months old, Ophelia?
Four.
My 4-month-old kitten, Ophelia, who I got a month ago, who is somewhere destroying something in my house. She's right here? Oh. She's also stage right, hiding.
Oh my God. Love
well, that you are definitely a cat lover.
I so love cats. My baby cats.
Yes. I love cats.
Yeah, biggest thing I miss on tour for sure.
All right, second question, whiskey or vodka?
Ooh, you know, I used to be all vodka, but I recently switched to whiskey.
What kind of whiskey?
Oh, I don't, well, whatever's there.
You're like, whatever.
Anything.
Whatever. Yeah.
When I was also 21, I think I also was fine drinking the well. I never got hangovers. But now I'm in my 30s and I'm like, no, I can never drink well whiskey. I can never drink well anything.
What do you drink instead?
Well, so I'm opposite of you. I used to be all whiskey and now I switched to vodka because like the whiskey just doesn't sit well with me anymore. Again, I was on tour for like 10 years, our band only got whiskey on our rider. So I was drinking that like every day of my life, basically.
Nightmare, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was just like, I turned again in my 30s, I was like, I just can't do whiskey anymore. I can't handle it. My body says no.
So rough. So rough. I'll go either way. I'm not picky. When there's an objective and the objective is to get drunk, whatever is right there and $2, I will select.
Yeah. Third question. The road. I know. God.
Yeah.
Third question is beach or snow?
Snow.
Yay.
Oh,
we like that answer.
You guys
both like that answer?
Yeah, because a lot of people don't say that. I mean, of course, we understand why people would say beach, but not a lot of people say snow. So when they do, we get excited.
I skied for years. I skied for years and years. Yeah.
No.
Always a skier.
Oh, really?
Jess went last year.
I tried last year and I hadn't really skied before. And I was that person that Bowie was like trying to teach me. We're at the top of the mountain and she's like, okay. So just like, you know, she was like, do that thing. What's that?
Pizza.
The pizza.
Pizza.
Yeah. Snow pie,
and she's like, okay, do the pizza. And all of a sudden you see me just start going down the mountain and I can't
like,
pizza. She's like, oh my God. She's going, oh God, oh God. And she's sitting at the top of the mountain with my fiance Lauren and they're like watching me go down the mountain. And I'm just like, I can't do anything. And they're like, oh God. And everyone around me is just like laughing.
Are
and
you
I'm
just
like
hauling ass down the mountain?
Was hauling ass down the mountain. And then I had to do one of those
you
like
gotta just like
I like
say
fell.
The Holy Spirit, you know, like just pulled back.
Yeah, I'm like, you have to turn. You have to turn.
Yes. I was like, I can't.
Yeah.
So that was my experience.
All you have to do is just like slightly lean until you either hit a tree or fall over.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was like, go back up the mountain if you need to. Like, go back up.
Yeah, like, turn. And but so yeah, smart. So just to say that my first experience on the mountain was not the best, but I'm going to give good it a try line. Again.
Yeah, do it again. A lot of people don't do that. A lot of people go face first in the snow and then never do it again, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were pretty good, Jess, actually. You really came along quite nicely.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it ended up being okay after that really terrifying first experience going down. But it was literally like out of a movie when you're telling someone like, you know, their first time, like, okay, just pizza. And it's like, cool. And then I'm just like 50 miles per hour down the fucking mountain.
All right, next question. Would you prefer to be the headliner or the opener?
Can I ask a follow-up?
Yeah.
Most people do.
Okay, is there another band in between the two? Like, is there a direct support or is it just opener and headliner?
Oh, wow.
Because that changes everything.
We'll just say direct opener, will we?
Well, there's okay, direct, so... Yeah, direct support. So should we... For this one, let's just pick one, I guess. Because normally... Let's actually say it's just like literally you're like just the hard opening, but opening for Green Day, let's say, or your own headline tour.
Hell yeah.
So yeah. You will take like a 20-minute opening set.
For a band like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rather than headline at the Roxy.
Oh, we're doing that too.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's the best. Okay, yeah. Is it really choosing between opening for Green Day and headlining the Roxy, or is it just across the board headlining?
It's
more
kind of more general, like, okay, as in which would you prefer? Because some people really do pick one, but most people are very confused and don't know what the answer is.
Well,
as
most people, it's no like answer. How you just asked a follow up, because it's true. It depends literally on the circumstance. That's why I was like, let's say it is this circumstance.
Because there can be high and low pressure opening slots and high and low pressure headlining. You know, there's a lot of. But at the end of the day, if I decide to do one forever, I don't know. I'd probably pick opening. Is that weird?
No,
I reckon I'd open people for say Green that Day too.
Because if I may explain my position, I like we're at a cool spot in our career where we're opening for bands that are very cool. And sometimes we get to choose the bands that we open for, and a lot of times they're bands that I really like, which is great. And also you get to take your stuff off and then watch the headliner and get hammed. So
that's the best.
I love to get hammed with my friends.
And watch a band that you love every night.
That's
right?
The best.
That's the thing. I think about opening. It's like, it's great, especially when it's like, oh, I get to watch this band that I've loved every night and I can just like hang out. You know, like I think that's a really cool, I like that position, you know?
So we've never really headlined shows before. Like we, you know, of course we've like played last, but like we've never really had like, you know, Rainbow Sound headlining, you know what I mean?
Right.
So we just had our first experience with that on a tour we did last month, where almost all the shows sold out, which is great. You know, obviously, like, an amazing experience, super fun. I'm very familiar with the feeling of waiting to play. Waiting 6 hours to play instead of waiting 2 hours to play is kind of rough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
I don't like that. I don't like waiting. I would rather just play. Like, if you're in the Destroy Boys green room an hour before we play, like, this is what it looks like. Like, Narsa is just sitting there. Alexia is, like, singing some weird warm-up. And I'm walking back and forth being like, I just want to play now. Every night I say that as if it's going to change something.
As if it's going to change.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely want to get the performance done. Then you can relax.
Yeah.
I just want to do it now. I just want to play now.
Exactly. I totally get that. I totally get it. I'm there with you. Last question is, it's not really like a this or that, but what do you have like on your rider? What do you guys like to have in the dressing room?
Oh, again, so we have never had our rider fulfilled ever until last month.
Yeah.
ever.
But what have you had on it?
Many a times.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so it's really cool to see. We have hummus and veggie tray, like any respectable band.
Literally every band.
Tortilla chips, salsa, pita chips. Something cool that came along is Alexia asks for chocolate, and they get it, which is hilarious. That's the only, like, fun item. We get towels, water, beer. I asked for a bottle of white wine, which I have been consistently receiving, which is great.
That's great.
And tequila if it's, like, a cooler venue.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. No, pita and hummus, all that, everything that you have, I feel like is just, like, that's – it's great. That's what every band, I think, has on there, because it's like, what am I just going to snack on, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here. We are at the end of the interview. For everyone who, you know, is maybe not already following you, do you want to give your Instagram, maybe even your personal and your band's Instagram, so everyone can follow you guys?
Yeah. Well, thank you for having us, first of all. So much fun. I really had fun talking to you guys. My name's Vi. You can follow me on the Instagram at Violet Mayuba. My last name is spelled M-A-Y-U-G-B-A. The first name is Violet, like the flower or the crayon. And my band is Destroy Boys. You can follow us at Destroy Boys Band on pretty much everything. So check us out.
Awesome.
Yeah. Heck yeah. Well, again, thank you for being here and for, you know, getting through this even with having a cold. You are such a champ.
And to you as well. Thank you guys so much for having me. Seriously, so much fun.
Thanks so much. Bye.
Thank you.